Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Been looking forward to this opportunity just to be with the people of God, share the word of the Lord, and see what God might speak to us from this section of Ephesians chapter 4. As we're unpacking what our theme for the year is, new fire, and we talk about now a new commitment to our calling. Another word for calling would be vocation. Don't confuse that with vacation. I want to tell a little bit about myself, and that is I will never forget the first view I had of our oldest daughter when she got born. Oh, we looked at her, and could I show you a picture of our pride and joy? Okay. Well, anyway, she was not furniture polish, and she was not detergent, but we looked at her, and we said, oh, man, we've got such high hopes and expectations for this precious one. She's going to be so smart, so talented, and good-looking, and successful. And, of course, as she was growing up, she always looked for the next thing to do, the next thing, the next thing. And she was ahead of the scale on learning how to walk, on talking. She never stopped. And then things like riding the bike. But she was seriously behind the charts in things like learning, obedience, respect, and cooperation. Well, we all survived. It was difficult, but we all survived, not only childhood, but teenage years and so forth. And then it was time to go off to university, and she was determined. And I don't know how many times, though. I mean, her determination kind of slipped a little bit as she changed majors 3 times. But she finally went to the business college at the university. She said, I had this understanding as I looked at kids going in and out of that building. They're the ones that are going to get the jobs. So her motivation, their M for motivation, was money, money, money. And so after she graduated, she said, oh, guess what, Dad? What? I thought she said, I've got all my debts paid off? No. She said, I got accepted into the MBA program. Oh, my goodness. That's going to be a lot of... So don't worry, Dad. I'll take care of that. Well, yeah. Good luck on that. Well, so she then, when she finished that, she got a job in marketing. That was really good. And she made, money. The M of marketing then morphed over to the M of marriage. And then inevitably, marriage goes to motherhood and raising 2 kids, having a great time with that and feeling quite fulfilled. But as she's looking forward, she's, there's going to be a point where this nest is going to be empty. What do I do then? Because she was right, she did not want to go back into that business field, into the marketing. And so she one day had that epiphany. The lights went on pretty bright. She said, I'm going to look into the medical field. How about nursing? So she went to nursing school. In the meantime, she had learned that she had abilities she didn't realize in math and science, chemistry, and all those things. She got really excited about those. But when she got her RN, and she went right away to get the BSN, and she just loved patient care. And at a certain point, all that determination she had gave way to the D of delight, delight. She had joy and fulfillment and what it was that she was doing. And she said to me one day, she said, Dad, I now know what God made me for. Wow. So this was not just a platform for a paycheck. This was a platform where she could serve other people, meet people's needs, reach out in love, pray with and for patients and staff people there, be a witness and let her light shine. She found what it was that God had made her for, and she had made a commitment to a calling. Okay. Well, when God made us, He had a purpose in mind. And when a person is in Jesus Christ, and when a person knows what God made them for, something beautiful begins to happen. Work, even the drudgery that had, you know, had formerly been looked on as drudgery, takes on significance, and it becomes a sacred calling. Because you see, people are looking for something. They really would like to somehow connect to something that is bigger than themselves, something that is, we might call it sacred. People want to know who I am. Who am I? Okay, that would be their person. They want to know that. They want to know their community. Where do I belong? So who are my people? The second P. And the third thing, what's the meaning in life? I want to know my P for purpose. So those three, your person, your people, and your purpose. Your calling, your vocation, is the context where you discover and we live them out. I want to share with you the call of Jeremiah from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. And it says this, God is speaking to Jeremiah. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. He had a purpose for him. But you know, it wasn't just Jeremiah or Isaiah, not just Abraham or Moses or the 12 apostles or St. Paul. He had a purpose already for each one of us. You know, have you ever wondered, what did God have in mind way back before time when he had the first thought about me? And what did he do in the history of the world that brought me right now to where I am? You know, including things like the color of my grandmother's eyes, so that I could be where I am to fulfill the responsibility he's got for me. Well, according to Ephesians 4, which was read before, we all have a purpose. And I'm going to read verse 1 again. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. That's his his person, his identity, okay? I urge you to walk or to live, carry out your life in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Your purpose. You're called. And there is a distinctive walk, a distinctive way that you live out your life in accordance with the purpose that God had for you. Because you see, you're not some kind of an accident. God intended you. God had a plan in place. And God gave you a job. Not any less than he gave a job to Adam and Eve to tend the garden. He's given each of us a place in life, a job. And we are to tend our garden, a calling. Now, let's go deeper into that, because that calling is rooted in something else, another calling. And that is to be called, invited, drawn into spiritual life through the gospel. We all know that we have been born into this world as sinners. We started out on the negative, see. We needed something, and we were not capable ever of saving ourselves. So that's why we do things like No Place Left, so we can share how to share the gospel with other people. But what happened then is God had a plan, and that plan included you. And at some point, you heard the words of the gospel. Maybe that gospel came to you even in something that you felt like water splashing over you in your baptism. That was already your calling, even if you were a little infant. But the words then of the gospel turned the light on a little bit more and a little bit more, penetrated more deeply, and the offer of forgiveness, the offer of acceptance into the family of God and a place at his table, and future, which would ultimately include forever in his presence in heaven. Yeah, so the three P's are fulfilled. Your person, who you are, your people, your community, drawn into the community, and then your purpose to live it out. God placed us into community, fellowship with giftedness. There is, as we read in Ephesians 4, one body, and you're part of that body of Christ. Now, as a result of that, your occupation is a vocation. A vocation. Your work is not just a paycheck, but it's a platform in which you can let the light of Jesus shine to other people. A place for witness, a place for serving other people, a place for serving God. Work is no longer simply the job or occupation, but it is a sacred calling. Well, that's easy for me to say. I'm retired, right? Retirement is a vocation as well. You know, you've heard of the second act, and God has something in mind for us in that too. You know, because all these people have had all that experience and accumulated all that wisdom, and how they can mentor younger people. But you know, in each of these, there is a summons from God. It's where the Holy Spirit sanctifies the Christian life, no longer lived in a self-centered request quest for success, but it is lived seeking what God has in mind for success, serving Him, serving others. Now, your vocation. I want you to know your vocation is sacred. Martin Luther said, whether the plowboy or the priest, both are serving the Lord. The stable servant with the shovel in hand, doing you know what, is said, is doing holy work just as much as the priest who stands before the altar. The biblical understanding elevated the sense of calling. You didn't have to have a religious vocation or a churchly vocation. You didn't have to sell everything and move to a third world country. You didn't have to change your address. You had a vocation. What God called you to is very, very special. Luther also said that God himself will milk the cows through him whose vocation that is. So we're talking today about commitment to your vocation. To exercise a commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you don't have to change, but where you serve. But however, your secular job is no longer a secular job. Christians don't have secular jobs. You know that? We have sacred jobs, okay? And our job and our job title does not give us dignity. No, we give dignity to our job. Now, that means to simply live in faith, in obedience to the commandments of our Lord, to have a heart that is open and ready so that God can move us, change us, develop us, and work the presence of Jesus Christ more and more into our lives. And that we can go wherever it is that he has placed us and do holy service wherever then that we are when placed by him. And use our platform as a place for witness, a place to serve other people. You know, it was when these fishermen were fishing along the Sea of Galilee. It was when Moses was keeping sheep. It was when Joseph was a carpenter making the best stuff that he could make and getting ready to get married. It was when Abraham was doing business in the land of Haran that God said, I've got something for you to do. Are you ready? Are you willing? Will you do it? God called them then to the next part. And the call of God, they found their purpose in that call. Now, what they were doing before was very important. The fact is, that was the training ground. If they were not faithful in all that other stuff, how could God ever use them for the next thing that was to come along in their life? You see, your vocation is the arena in which God has called each one of us to serve. It involves our occupation. It involves marriages, a vocation to marriage, a vocation to parenthood, sometimes a vocation to singleness, maybe to widowhood for a time. A part we have in life, you know, to work. Where has he called you to work and to serve in his church? How about as a neighbor? You have a vocation toward your neighbor. As a volunteer, as a coach, as a professional, as a clerk, whatever it is. Every part of our life that is lived in the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ, and that is committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and then by the power of the Holy Spirit, walking worthy of the calling to which he has called us. What a special privilege every one of us has, wherever we are. And, God worked out all those details to bring you to where you are. Now, I know not everybody is happy with their job. I tried to check out, what are some statistics. I researched a little bit, and one of the sources I found said that only 20% of workers are passionate about their jobs. I get it. I had summer jobs when I was a student. I was not particularly passionate about. The work was not fun. I didn't go off to work just to have fun. Oh, it was the relationships. Well, you know what? I never saw a grumpier bunch of people with hostile attitudes. The ones who, when the supervisor's back was turned, they would mock him and get a laugh from everybody. But there always were a few that had that look on their face that, I know I am here. I'm happy. I am doing something special as a part of us and with this company. So let's begin to put this together now and make an application into our lives. Can I ask you the question, are you living with purpose? Yeah, Don in the opening is asking, challenging already, what about your vocation? Do you know what it is? What's your calling? We go back to our core calling when he says, I want you to belong to me. I want you to be my child. And then you remember last week in the baptism and made the sign of the cross on that little baby and on the heart. You know what? All the baptized are marked. You're a marked person. It says, hey, you belong. That's your identity. And then what he went through to place you where you are now today. There are those times when a job change, a situation change is called for. Yes, and when we sense that call from God, be ready for however God may shift us into something else. And think of this from 1 Chronicles, somewhere in the Old Testament, chapter 4. You probably haven't read 1 Chronicles lately. In the 10th verse, it's the prayer of Jabez, and it goes this way. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me. You know, God can expand your border. If you're retired, he can expand your border. If you're disabled, he can expand your borders. If you're working in a job you don't even like, he can expand your borders. The contentment, you see, is a choice that you make. You know, it may not be fun, but the misery about it is optional, that you choose or not choose. But God has a plan in our lives. And it said that God granted what he asked. How would you like to have your boundaries, your borders set out farther? Enlarging of our boundaries, especially in our commitment to carry out what it is that he has in mind for us. I'm going to give you 4 tips on this, okay? And I'm just about at the conclusion. The first is, you look in your life at what are the necessities? What is it that you know God and a lot of people are depending on you for this? Are you willing to step up to that? Okay. What are those necessities? Because if God has placed you with necessities, he's going to provide the means. Secondly is, you look at your abilities. What am I able to do? Well, you're probably able to do a whole lot more than what you think. You're going to find, abilities and even interests that go beyond anything that you're dealing with right now. The third thing is, you look at your passions. What has God worked is you to be passionate about? What are the things that just give you delight? I mean, other than taking time off and lying on the beach or something like that. What has he given you that gives you a passion in a way that serves God, serves other people? And then, of course, takes care of necessities. And then the fourth thing is, what are the opportunities that God has placed in front of you? See, these 4 things, kind of a set of tips about looking at, as you look at your vocation, and to affirm, to celebrate your vocation, to actually, understand, I can make a commitment to the calling that God has. The first aspect of that calling is to be his child. To walk worthy of that in our vocation, yes. To find who we are as a person, who are our people, and what is our purpose, that's a great thing. Now, just to kind of wrap it up, you've seen these shows, these movies, or things on series on TVs like the cop shows, maybe the first responders, the firefighters, the rescuers. So someone is stuck out there and in the water and they can't get out, and maybe the car had flipped or something, and someone risks life to go and rescue that other person, and then they bring this child to the mother. And the mother says, and the dad's standing there, and they're both so thankful. And they say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. How can we ever thank you? And he just says, just doing my job, ma'am. That's all. Just doing my job. Can you say that? Just doing my job. Well, Jesus refers to that same thing in the 17th chapter of Luke as he's giving a parable and about the servant who serves the master. Now, the master is not going to say, oh, how great you did, what a wonderful thing, but the slave just simply says, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what is our duty. What's your duty? May your duty become your delight in your life as you make a commitment to your calling to be a child of God and your calling to be where He has placed you.